Monterrey, Mexico, a narrow street bustling with crowds and traffic. A profile photo of a ponytailed man on a light box.
The facial surgery alone will take me 6 hours.
Kelly Riley, Kieran Hines.
I want you to use this.
Fentanyl? Do you know how dangerous this is?
Above suspicion, deadly intent.
It's what I want.
He offers a bundle of money.
Fentanyl can be used for the liposuction, but I'm lifting your entire face. And I don't want to have the dead patient in my clinic.
The patient's in his late 50s.
I make the decisions.
A photo of the eye with marks in black pen. The dark-haired surgeon's in his scrubs. He makes an incision. A yellowish fluid in a clear plastic tube. The surgeon marks under the man's eyes, draws a vertical line up his neck and from the jawline to the ear. A drop is removed from a small bottle of nitric acid and the liquid's dropped along a fingertip. Written by Linda LaPlante, Noel Farragher. Adapted from Linda LaPlante's novel, Deadly Intent.
It's nearly over. I'm gonna organize a taxi to take you to your motel.
A ceiling fan revolves in a grubby hotel room. The man's face is bandaged. He injects a solution into the cannula in his hand and eases his long, wiry body back on the bed in the dimly lit room. At the clinic, the surgeon checks the man's face.
Good. Really, really good. I'm really pleased with work.
The man's hair is now short. He takes a filled syringe from his jacket pocket. The surgeon's clearing the couch and his back is turned. The man grabs him. He slams the surgeon's face down on the couch and sticks the needle into the back of his neck. The surgeon convulses, then stops moving. A high-density London housing estate on an overcast day. A fair-haired 30-ish man in a suit leans against a railing on a raised walkway. Another guy walks up.
Bloody Crime Stoppers Awards breakfast, bollocks. Welcome to the world of a chief super.
Sorry for dragging you out here, sir.
Oh, I did the right thing, believe me. You get hurt?
Well, I requested a DI, they sent her. Was that okay?
Why wouldn't it be?
A pretty redhead climbs the stairs.
Travis.
Sir?
Guess this means we get to work together again.
Yeah, I suppose it does.
Shall we?
A bullet's placed in an evidence bag.
Take this up to the lab and get ballistics on it right away.
Scene of crimes officers in a squat, a man's body's on the floor. DCI Mike Lewis enters.
Pete Jenkins, DCS James Langton, DI Travis.
Pleasure.
Classic dealer setup gone wrong. Someone got upset, moved out in a hurry. His gear left behind.
Shot twice, one bullet recovered, the other looks still to be in him.
Well, he doesn't look like your typical customer. Any ID on him?
I know who he is.
Who?
Sorry, I'm late.
Yeah, me too. You two go and check out the neighbour who called this in.
Oh, number 52, Mrs. Webster. Apparently made numerous complaint calls in the past.
Right, well, get on with it then.
Travis leaves with DS Paul Baroli.
Frank Brandon. How'd he end up here?
When did you last work with him?
About a year ago. He took early retirement before he was pushed, if you know what I mean.
Bit dodgy, was he?
Langton gives Lewis a stern look. Travis and Baroli.
So what do you think happened?
You had a shock.
All right. I was only asking.
They pass a couple of boys in hoodies on the stairs. A middle-aged woman cautiously opens her front door.
Mrs. Webster.
In the living room.
I was in bed. Were you asleep? Asleep? Without music? If you can call it music. Shouting, booming, banging. It's just noise. All the time.
You said in your 999 call that you heard gunshots.
Well, I don't know that there were gunshots, but I do know that they were very loud. Just like fireworks night. Bang! Bang! Bang!
Three shots. Are you sure?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm quite sure. It woke Jeremy.
Who's Jeremy?
My son.
Can we see him?
No.
It's just he may have heard or seen something, that's all.
No, he doesn't know anything.
Can we ask him ourselves?
No, he's sleeping. He needs his rest. He gets very tired.
Okay, thank you for your time, Mrs. Webster.
Baroli sees a rota pinned to a message board on the wall. In latex gloves, Langton's going through a wallet. Lewis is next to him. Langton takes out a photo of a woman and a boy.
Was that the wife and kid?
Didn't have any kids, not that I knew of.
He was engaged to a girl called Connie.
Girl in the photo? She looked quite posh.
That wasn't her.
Who was she then?
I don't know. Connie's,
not posh?
No.
They're outside.
I hate doing these.
I knew this was coming. I just knew something was wrong as soon as I saw you.
So these are Frank's papers, yeah?
His files and stuff, I guess, yeah.
They might help us find her who did this to Frank.
We're supposed to be getting married. Well, I've not heard from him for weeks. He was off doing long hours. Said he'd landed some big job. Proper money.
You say what the job was exactly?
Just said he'd be away for a few weeks and then we'd be set up. I mean, I didn't like it. But we're saving up for a place of our own. Oh, I can't believe this.
Connie, do you know who he was working for?
Danny, his name was, Elliot. He didn't sail to tell you. Petrozzo. Danny Petrozzo. Frank reckons he was going to be coining it in.
Is Frank living here with you?
No, he said until we got married, it was best I stay here with Mum.
I'll be in touch as soon as we get any news, okay?
You mean he could be alive?
No, sweetheart. Frank's dead.
More presents for you, Joan? A fix from Frank Brandon.
You shouldn't have.
At the police station briefing room, Lewis dumps the box of papers on Joan's desk. She's in her 30s with messy fair hair. She takes out a folder. Lewis and Langton.
Right.
Gather round.
Travis leaves her desk and joins the others.
Hurry up.
She's in black trousers and a white blouse with a pair of shades on top of her head.
For those who don't know me, I'm DCS James Langton. DCI Lewis will be heading up this investigation. It's his first. I expect you all to give him your full support. Now, we're going to be under the spotlight on this one because the victim was one of us. Former Detective Inspector Frank Brandon. We worked a couple of cases together. He was no choir boy, but he was a Met officer with over 25 years experience. I have to take this, Mike. Yes, ma'am.
Right. We're waiting for forensics and pathology reports, but we have, I believe, two shots. One to the face and one to the chest.
Sir.
So, what led this extremely experienced officer to end up dying in a drug squad? Priorities are to find out who he was, what he was doing, who his friends were, his enemies. Joan, have you been going through those papers?
Yes, sir, yeah.
Okay. So we know that he worked as a driver for a guy called Danny Petrozzo. Paul, you check that name out.
Already on it.
Okay.
Sorry, sir.
Travis.
Sir. When we spoke to the neighbour, Mrs. Webster, she said that she clearly heard three shots.
Well, how reliable is she? Maybe she misheard. Forensics only found two bullets. They have stripped that flat without finding a third.
Right. Well, I was hoping to speak to her son, who lives with her, but...
Something wrong with him. I saw a lot of mental health visits
Go
on the
back
board.
Go and speak with him, Travis. Right. Nobody else in that estate is talking to us. We need all the help we can get.
Well, this might be something. Tech support have given us the last call on Frank's mobile, which was to a Julia. Now, in this diary from the papers brought in...
Today, please, Joan.
Well, the last entry was made 3 months ago, a pickup at an address in Knightsbridge. Client's number is the same one off his mobile, and the name, Julia Larson.
Travis is watching Lewis. Lewis and Baroli are in a quiet residential square. They enter an imposing block of Edwardian flats. The attractive 30-ish brunette in the photo opens the door.
Yes?
Julia Larson?
Yes.
I'm DCI Lewis. This is my colleague, B.S. Baroli.
We're investigating the murder of a man we believe may have worked for you as a driver in the past few months. His name's Frank Brandon. Do you remember him?
Baroli hands over a photo and she stares at it.
He's my husband.
On the estate...
Danny, it's me, Frank.
A face looks through a hatch in the door. Lewis in the elegant flat.
This was found in his wallet. Can you just confirm that it's you in the photograph?
Yes. Yes, that's me with my son, William.
Can we see your son?
No. Well, he's at Harrow.
I know this is difficult, but, was your husband involved in drugs at all?
Why would you say that?
Mr. Brennan was found in a known crack house.
Would you know why he'd be visiting somewhere like that?
No.
You met when he became your driver?
Yes.
And that was just this April, correct?
Yes.
And you married when?
In May.
Were you aware that he was already engaged to a Miss Connie Short?
No. No, I wasn't.
Travis at Mrs. Webster's flat.
I was hoping to speak to your son. Jeremy, is it?
Well, I need to check whether he's up to it.
I'm sorry, is he ill?
No, he's not ill. It's just that he doesn't react well to stress. He gets upset. It used to be good here. Now the needles are filthy, junkies around all the time. It's like living in a nightmare. Of course, the council talk about rehousing, but we'd lose our occupational therapist then, do you see?
Travis is sitting next to her on the sofa and smiles sympathetically.
Can you give me a few minutes?
Yes, of course.
The tired-looking woman gets to her feet. She walks over to a door, pauses, then knocks very deliberately.
Jeremy, I'm not coming in. I'm staying this side of the carpet, on the white line. It's a police officer. She wants to talk to you. Okay.
Travis warily enters the room. There are rotors neatly stuck on the walls and bottles lined up on a small chest of drawers.
Hello.
He's looking out for the window with his back to her.
Jeremy, my name's Anna. I'm a detective.
Shut the door.
Mrs. Webster steps out and closes the door. Travis looks surprised, then slowly walks over to the window. They both stand looking out over the estate, then she holds out her ID. He doesn't look at it or at her. She puts it away.
Did you hear the gunshots last night, Jeremy?
He's in his 30s with neatly cut fair hair.
Your mum said that she heard three loud bangs, like fireworks. Do you hear them?
A muscle in his jaw twitches. He doesn't move. A stack of notebooks and pencils are lined on the windowsill.
You like to write, Jeremy. What do you write about?
Visitors.
Visitors? Here or...
They do not have permission, as they do not have residence parking permits. It is against the law to park on the estate without a legal permit. Those who park their cars here without the proper permit do so illegally, but I watch them and I write them down.
So these are all the details of every car parked on the estate?
Don't touch the notebook! Parking here is for residents only. You have to show the correct permit in the windscreen.
Right, I understand.
She watches him for a moment.
Do you have any list of cars for last night?
He stares fixedly out of the window, then nods.
I could do something about those people who park illegally, Jeremy.
I haven't written them up yet.
But you know them. See, you could help me. And I could help you.
He looks at her for the first time, then back at the window.
NM07PML, Ford Focus Red. LR57UYA, Nissan Navara Black. F264NGM, Leyland Maestro White. H654LXO, Vauxhall Cavalier Grey. BN04RXZ, Toyota Corolla Silver. Y605EHH, Peugeot 306 Green. YX52FYO, Mazda 3.
He wouldn't let me take the notebooks. He shrieked when I even touched them. I copied down what I could.
But he could recite them all from memory. Amazing.
He logged down every car that went in and out of the estate the night of the shooting. I'm sorry, Joan, but you're going to have to go through them all.
Oh, terrific.
Cross-ref them for anyone with form or anything that stands out.
Yep, will do. Oh, Pete Jenkins called, said he'd found something of interest. Asked for you specifically.
Langton's walking down the corridor, glances in and stops. He enters and walks up to the whiteboard with its two columns of license plates.
What the hell's all this?
Oh, Travis wrote that up, sir. It's all...
It's like exchanging bloody Mart in here.
Grim-faced Langton throws Travis a look. A photo of Brandon's face with blood around the nose and the shot in the cheek. Jenkins.
Rifling on the bullet suggests a .38 revolver. That's such a powerful weapon at such close range. You'd expect significant exit spatter across the wall behind him. But something caused a void on the wall.
Like someone standing behind him?
That's what the blood distribution indicates, yeah.
Could they have been injured?
Well, they'd have been covered in the victim's blood, certainly.
But you only found two bullets.
Oh. We're still running the prints from the flat.
Thanks for this, Pete.
It's all right. Just doing my job. Are you free tonight?
I can't tonight.
It's okay. Just thought I'd ask, you know.
Maybe another time.
She smiles at him and leaves the lab. Julia's in the mortuary corridor.
Oh, Julia, my poor
David,
darling.
I've been trying to call you. I'm scared
it's
out
all right.
Of my mind.
I'm here. This is a complete outrage, forcing a grieving widow.
And you are?
David Rushton, of Rushton and Coleridge. I handle Julia's affairs, as well as being a friend of hers.
Well, Mr. Rushton, a formal identification of the body is required, so...
This is cruel and unnecessary. Surely there
David,
are alternatives.
David, it's okay. I have to know it's Frank.
Lewis smiles at Rushton and walks off with Julia. They enter the mortuary. Langton and Lewis are in the police canteen. Travis walks by their table.
Oi, Travis!
She turns at the counter.
Good breakfast here, Travis.
Now, I'm all right with tea, thanks.
What are forensics have?
Unusual blood spatter. Apparently there was a second person standing directly behind Frank.
Yeah. It might just be another junkie. There at the same time.
Yeah, but he'd have to be standing right behind it. Either way, we've got a witness.
What?
Frank Brandon took out a life insurance policy just after he was married with his new wife, Julia, made out as a sole beneficiary.
How much?
$500,000.
And what do we make of Julia?
Swedish?
She's Danish. She hires Frank as a driver, doesn't know him from Adam, marries him a month later, then they move into that place together in Knightsbridge. I mean, all due credit to the guy, but what's a woman like her doing with a bloke like him?
You want marmalade with that?
Maybe Frank just landed on his feet. She's obviously worth a bob or two.
Yeah, and there's poor Connie. Frank told her he came into money. Just neglected to mention it was another woman's. I want you to go and speak with Julia Brandon and stop pissing about with lists of cars.
Oh, yeah. Joan came up with the address of a garage.
Registered in Frank Brandon's name.
Good. Let's go. Paul, now. Frank's garage. Oh. Come on.
Heavy-set 30-something Baroli dips a sausage into a fried egg, puts it in a slice of bread and hurries out after Lewis and Travis. A car in a dark garage, a hand covers the driver's mouth and a needle shoved into his neck. The man's dragged across the floor by his feet. There's a covering over his mouth. A cardboard box with packets of fentanyl. Day in the long corrugated iron garage.
Stinks. That's good size, pleasing aspect.
Yeah, I don't think he brought the freight when there's Brandon here too often.
That hardly looks like the marital bed, does it?
There's a double mattress on the floor and an old sofa. Julia opens her front door.
Yes? I'm D.I. Travis. I was wondering if you had a few minutes.
I spoke to your colleagues. I don't know what else you expect me to say.
She walks into the elegant living room, leaving Travis in the hallway. She shuts the door and follows Julia in.
If he worked late, he would sleep in here so as not to disturb me.
When was the last time you saw your husband?
I last saw him in the morning. On the day you said he died. I didn't see him the entire day and I went to bed early.
You weren't worried when he didn't return home that night?
No. He was over and out late. Working. Been made to wait by a client.
What car he was driving?
No idea.
It wasn't his own, then?
No, it would have belonged to the man who employed him.
Danny Petrozzo. And it was through him that you found Frank in the first place, is that correct?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Travis has checked the wardrobe.
Do you have his contact details?
Look, I'm very busy at the moment. I have a funeral to arrange. If you ever release the body.
I understand. But we have a murder to investigate. Your husband's.
I'll have it somewhere.
Julia leaves the small bedroom. Travis is rummaging through a bag on the dining room table, then turns her attention to a pile of papers. She flicks through them as Julia walks up behind her and watches. Travis studies a photo of a middle-aged man with his hand stretched out as if to hide his face from the camera. A young teenage boy is with him.
What are you doing?
Who's this? This is your son, William. Is that his father?
It's absolutely none of your business.
I am investigating a murder. I do have a right to ask you questions.
Yes.
Yes.
It's my ex-husband, Anthony. I don't have to explain or justify anything to you. Do I have to remind you, or perhaps your superiors, that my husband has just been killed? So now please leave. I'm finding your presence terribly upsetting.
Of course, I'm so sorry. Is that Mr. Petrozzo's card? One thing, the surname of your ex-husband?
Collingwood.
Thank you.
Travis smiles sweetly and leaves. Behind her, Julia puts the photo in a shredder. Flashback to Julia taking the photo. The man puts his hand up. The surgeon operates on his face. Langton's on the phone in his office.
Yeah, we have a few leads coming in. No, I'm aware of that, right? Like I said, I'm across it. Yes, ma'am.
He replaces the phone and Travis enters.
Knock, knock. Well, I had a very interesting conversation with Julia Brandon.
And?
Well, she doesn't seem like she's in mourning.
Everyone deals with grief differently, Travis.
Found out that she'd been previously married. Freaked out when I asked her about him.
Get a name?
Anthony Collingwood. There's a picture also.
Right, we'll check it out.
I thought that maybe he's where the money comes from. It's a possibility. Just smells a bit fishy. Certainly touched on a nerve anyway.
Just do your homework. Right? If you get anything, update Lewis in full.
Right.
Hey. What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
Now, I'll decide if it's nothing, Travis. And it's custom to use sir when speaking to a DCS.
Sir, I'm sorry if I...
Look, you're good. Right? But that doesn't mean you get to pick and choose when you show respect. Now, Lewis is your DCI. He's there because he's earned it. Right, he's running this case. Work with him. Not against him.
Have I done something to offend you?
What?
It's just you seem a bit tetchy with me. I mean, what's this really about?
I'll tell you what this is about. A former colleague gets shot in a shitty drug den. I have to go and tell his poor fiancé, who hadn't a clue he was actually married to somebody else. Now, as well as the five other cases I'm supposed to be covering, I've got the friggin' press on my back about an ex-policeman bent as a dog's back leg and a commander who wants the whole thing wrapped up and off the front bloody page. So, yes, you could say I'm a bit tetchy.
Right, thank you, sir.
He watches her leave. She makes her way downstairs and sees Joan sorting through papers and boxes on the floor below. Baroli comes over with two more boxes.
No need to thank me.
No, there isn't, is there?
I'll sort another set of hands to help with that lot, Joan.
Thanks, Mike. Mike, how are you? How's your wife?
Yes, she's fine. Fine. Did you get anything?
Well, yes, actually. Two hits from Travis's list. Eddie Court, burglar, shoplifter, drug user. Leyland Maestro registered in his name was parked outside the flat the night of the shooting. The address from the PNC.
Excellent, Joan. Well done.
And Danny Petrozzo, Frank's boss,
has a record going back 20 years. Now, it's nothing too serious, handling stolen goods, possession. No sighting at the address we have for him, but his 4x4 is also on Jeremy's list.
Great.
Paul, let's go!
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah?
It's about Julia Brandon. She's got this ex-husband that I think might be of some interest.
OK, I haven't got time to write this up now, Travis, but get the details of this Petrozzo character from Joe.
OK, Joe!
Find him. He's vital, OK?
Yeah, OK. Still think that list of cars is a waste of time.
What do you want, a round of applause?
Lewis and Baroli are on a residential street.
That's the van.
Leyland Maestro.
They turn into a front garden and Baroli rings the doorbell of a house. A young guy in overalls warily opens the door.
Eddie Court.
Baroli shows his ID. The guy turns.
Eddie?
I'll just go get him.
He smiles and goes in, leaving the front door open. Lewis watches, then gestures to Baroli to go round the back. He jumps a fence and runs into Court in the yard.
All right, Eddie, enough, enough.
Listen, I don't know what you think I've done, but with that ladder and all that gear, that's mine, right?
Well, that ladder, it. Eddie.
Your van was seen parked on the Warren estate.
Night before last.
No, man.
Why were you there?
I wasn't.
Well, we've got a witness that says otherwise.
Well, I got it wrong. Someone must use my van.
What, has your van been stolen recently?
No, but...
Wait, we're not interested in what you bought there or what you're using. We want to know who you saw there.
Court looks despairing and leans his head back against the wall.
My mum's gonna kill me.
The lab.
Hey, Ella.
Hi.
Hi. Two things. Among the crack and the heroin we found at the flat the other day, we also uncovered something a little unusual. A drug called fentanyl.
Right, should I have heard of that?
It was prescribed in micrograms, usually, for pain management, late-stage cancer patients, that sort of thing, in patch form, usually. But this is produced from the pure powder, and it's hundreds of times more powerful than morphine.
Blimey.
100 milligrams will kill you instantly. That's a few grains of salt, pinhead. With this amount, there's enough to kill you, me, everyone in this building.
My God, do you think they were dealing this?
Let's hope not. Now, this we picked up at the flat. We got a print match and a name. Silas Roach. Nasty sod. Rather you than me, if you know what I mean.
A flash of a heavy-set 30-ish black guy. He pulls a gun.
What the fuck are you looking at, white one?
A handsome 30-ish black guy glides down a main road in an Alfa Romeo. Roach walks along the pavement.
Kiss it up.
Looks like you got lucky there, Silas. How about your mate, Danny Petrozzo? How's his name?
Who the fuck are you, eh?
Oh, fuck! I went in blood!
Two white guys jump him and bundle him in the back of the car. A man shoves past Joan at the police station.
Excuse me. Excuse me, you need to report to the duty sergeant.
What's going on?
I was just going to the ladies and he pushed past me. I said he needs to report to the duty sergeant. I don't know who he is.
Hey, hey! Stay where you are.
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Do you know who I am?
Leave your hands where I can see them.
I was going for my ID, you prick. DCI, Sam Power, drug squad.
From the Alfa Romeo.
I'm DCS Langton. This is a restricted area. Why don't you check him out for Christ's sake, Joan?
I was just going to the ladies and he burst in. I didn't have time.
I've had a whole team undercover trailing Silas Roach for months.
You should think about getting a new team then.
I'm not just after him, but his dealers, his contacts, his whole fucking network.
So where were these crack surveillance officers when Roach was pumping bullets into Frank Brandon?
Our intelligence didn't suggest that he would show up at one of his own places like that.
Intelligence? That's funny.
Why didn't you make contact with my team before steaming in there? You found your man dead in that place. Next minute, the old world is trampling all over it, but you don't think to make contact with the drug squad.
But it's not drug squad casing anymore, it's a murder inquiry. Murder of an ex-officer.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and what a rotten one, eh? You see, we move our dirty coppers on. You lot obviously pick them up.
Yes.
Oh, you're in here. Your wife's on the phone.
Travis enters in a skimpy white vest top.
Sam Power, drug squad.
Diana Travis.
So, if this Silas Roach was such a big shot, then what the hell was he doing there anyway?
What was your boy Frank Brandon doing there, getting his face shot off?
Can I suggest DCI power that we have a full exchange of information. I share and share alike, so we can help each other, or are you just here to piss me off?
You make sure you don't piss me off, pal. I'm doing you a big favour.
Power rummages in his briefcase.
Now, we snatched Silas Roach an hour ago. He was carrying this baby.
A gun in an evidence bag.
I came here to suggest you come questioning him.
Power puts the bag down on Langton's desk.
Whenever you're ready.
Power smiles at Travis on his way out.
Get this to ballistics.
Sir, is it all right if I pass by the squad? I want to see what the progress is on the missing bullet.
Yeah, fine by me. Just make sure Lewis knows.
She glares at Langton's back as he walks off, then studies the gun. Baroli and Lewis are interviewing Cord.
Silas Roach.
Lewis hands Baroli the rap sheet and sits down, leaning on the table. Cord rests his head on his arms.
Oh, no, man. I am dead.
Oh, we can protect you, Eddie.
From him? Yeah, that's funny.
Well, you haven't grassed up anyone. Oh, we got his name from a print match, didn't we?
Court hesitates, then nods.
I just went there to pick up my gear as usual, right? I knew Danny, he's all right.
Danny who? Petrozzo?
Baroli gives Lewis a sideways glance. Court nods.
Eddie. I've scored from him before, but this time it was all Eddie, you know. None of the kids behind the counter, they was all out front. It felt like something was going down.
Silas was there.
Scared the shit out of me just seeing him.
What the fuck are you looking at, white boy?
No, he's gone. I handed over my nose up, got my gear, and I walked.
See you next time.
Court picks a photo off the table.
I just want to pass this geezer.
Frank Brandon? Just him? Or was he with someone?
Night on the estate. Two guys are on a walkway.
Yeah, there was someone. Blonde fella. Pop alert. Talk. It's great to see.
Lewis and Court share a smile.
And?
It's me.
He shot through the hatch.
Well, when I heard it start licking off, I didn't hang about. Do you know what I mean? I just wanted out.
Court jumps in a small van and tries to start it, then sees Roach running downstairs. Court ducks down as Roach jumps on another car. Then Court tries to start the van again as more figures run past.
But I saw Danny coming out, though, like he was helping a tall bloke.
Petrozzo forces his way into the squat. A man's doubled up inside. Petrozzo gets him out. Court looks up and sees Petrozzo walking the tall guy out. They go over to a parked car nearby and Petrozzo helps the guy get in. Court beams as his van starts and he pulls away. He stares at Lewis.
Thanks, Eddie.
Boy, where are you going? You're going to look out for me, right?
You'll survive, Eddie.
Langton and Power in an interview room with Roach.
Mr. Roach, we have an eyewitness who places you inside number 19 Warren Estate on the night of the murder.
Yeah, liar, man. Half idiot beast, you.
We also have your gun, which is currently being examined by our forensics officers. And when we...
He gobs on the floor.
Just so upset me now, you know.
You take a look at that. Frank Brandon was a friend of mine. You think you're tough? Your life won't be worth living. 5 minutes. 5 minutes before we charge you with murder.
Roach looks over at Power.
Hey, mama, man. Why so quiet?
This is out of order. I'm advising my client to answer no further questions until I have complete disclosure. You understand me?
Roach grins at Power. Travis is at the squat. She pauses in the doorway of the living room, then slowly makes her way over to the bloodstain on the floor. There are numbered yellow markers dotted about. She stops in front of the sofa by the blood, then leans forward and walks up to the hatch cut into the front door. A flash of Brandon in the same spot looking out. A gun appears in the gap. He's thrown back onto the floor. Mrs. Webster.
Back. Three shots. Are you sure?
Travis fingers a mark by the hatch in the door, then looks back and makes her way to the blood-spattered wall by a window.
Something caused a void on the wall.
Like someone standing behind him.
Slowly, she runs the light of her torch beam down and across the blood spatter. She works her way round to the front door again and finds a bullet hole in the corner of the door frame.
Gotcha.
She shines the torch on it and smiles to herself.
Oops. Someone is going to have their knuckles wrapped over this. It's understandable, though. Once that door's open, it stays open the whole time we're in there. No one's looking behind it. Good thing someone's paying attention.
So is there any blood on it?
The exit wound usually wipes the bullet clean of blood.
Well, is there nothing you can get off it?
I'll try amplifying the DNA at low copy number. The good news is that it allows even just 15 cells to be analysed.
Right, good news.
Yeah. It's a PCR approach, which involves initial linear amplification of the target using a tagged strand-specific primer.
Right. Good. Okay.
Anna, I was wondering...
Hang on, sorry. Hi. Hi, Sam. Yeah, thanks for getting back to me. No, it's just something I needed to talk to you about. Okay, great. I'll see you tonight. Look forward to it. Bye. Sorry, Pete, what were you saying?
Oh, it's nothing. Listen, I'll rush this through for you. Get the results back as soon as possible.
Thank you. You're a star. I'm sorry, sir.
It's all right, Jessica. Just shut the door, thank you.
You haven't done what I told you to do. I told you to reverse everything. Put it all back just as it was. I made a mistake, David.
Julia, you told me what to do and I did it. Now you just want me to change it all back again? You don't understand. It's very complicated. I'm trying to get the best deal on exchanges. Certain banks haven't even opened yet. You remember how much I made for you when I transferred funds to
the... Just get the money back to him.
Is he in the country? He wouldn't dare show his face, and if he did, all I'd have to do is to pick up a phone and get him arrested.
How can you arrest someone who doesn't really exist? I'm being followed. I know it.
You're quite safe.
You don't understand. I'm not safe, and nor are you. Unless you do what I'm telling you to do. I just want this to end.
In his office, Rushton reaches across his desk and puts his hands over Julia's.
If you care about your life, David, get the money transferred.
Travis and Power are at a bar. She takes a long swig of red wine.
I've been looking forward to that all day.
Tell me about it.
So how'd it go with Roach?
Nice guy. Just hope we haven't jumped the gun. So, what do you want to talk to me about?
Fentanyl.
Right. What about it?
Well, pretty much anything you can tell me. It's rare, right?
Yeah. There's not much of it about. Junkies get hold of patches of it and smoke the gel inside the patch.
And what about in pure form?
Well, I haven't seen much of it, but what I have scares the hell out of me.
Why?
It flooded Chicago a couple of years ago. The users didn't know how strong it was. They tapped it up like brown. Even licking the back of a spoon could have you dead within a minute. Heroin ID relaxes his victim to death, right? With fentanyl, you're awake. You're aware. Suffocating.
If it's so dangerous, why do people use it?
With heroin, you get high for an hour or so. Cut it with fentanyl, it's much more intense. Bigger bang for your buck, which means the user wants more of it more often. You can pick up a bag of heroin for a tenner these days. But this stuff is 80 quid a pop. And that is good news for the dealer.
Blimey.
What's this all about anyway? Why do you want to know all this?
It's what we found at the flat.
What do you mean?
Well, we think that maybe Silas is dealing it. Sorry, I thought you knew.
Fucking Langton.
She takes another sip of wine. Power's at the station, charging up the stairs.
What is it with you? I'll pick up Silas Roach ahead of time because of that shooting. I'll bring you in on questioning him, and you hold out on me.
Sir, is everything
what the hell are you on about?
The fentanyl you found! The reason Frank Brandon obviously had his face shut off.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If that stuff gets out there in the market, it'll be like genocide on the streets. Users dying like that.
Yeah, well, maybe that's no bad thing, eh?
Yeah, you tell it to a mother whose kid buys it at the school gate.
He slams down photos.
Look at that.
18. 16. 14 years old.
What are they doing?
Yeah, what are they doing?
Praying?
Yeah, a bit late for that, son. Nah, they're dead. Oh, you get it now? Yeah, that's what happens. They just drop dead. That's even a street name for it. Drop dead. Ah, some fentanyl was found in the squat, yeah? There's more where that came from. God help us.
In the photos, the kids' bodies are hunched over their knees with their foreheads on the floor. Purple blotches cover their skin. Day, Lewis in the briefing room.
Okay, listen up, everyone. We have got a match on Silas Roach's prints and the gun that DCI Powell brought in. And ballistics have now confirmed it was the same gun that was used to kill Frank Brandon. So we can charge him.
Well, what about the third bullet that I found? I mean, Pete's checking the DNA on it now, but there was only two gunshot wounds in Frank. What about this guy, this tall guy Eddie was talking about? Where's he?
Okay, Joan, we should check the hospitals, see if any have had any firearms victims since the night of the shooting.
What about Danny Petrozzo? Me and you, Frank. Why hasn't he come forward? Assuming he's got nothing to do with the murder.
Well, maybe they're in it together. I was speaking to DCI Power last night.
Okay, Nancy Drew, do you want to do this? Do you want to stand up here and run this?
I'm just saying that it's not as clear-cut as it might look. I think there's something else
well,
to
well,
it.
Well, what? So you take yourself off on your own little detective trails without even bothering to consult me?
Mike. Travis. My others.
Travis chucks her pen and clipboard on the desk and goes up to Langton. Lewis follows. Joan and Baroli exchange glances.
Joan, get me a chicken and bacon sandwich, will you? No tomatoes.
She looks peeved. Langton shuts his office door.
If you have a disagreement, you sort it out privately, not in front of the whole ruddy team. Did you clear it with Mike about going back to the squat yesterday, like I told you?
I tried to, sir, but...
Well, don't! Don't start with a but. I told you. Now I'm warning you. You start respecting the chain of command around here, you'll find yourself off the case. And did you give DCI Power information about a drug called fentanyl?
Yes, sir.
For Christ's sake, Travis. This is a team. And if you two are busy pulling each other's pigtails, we'll get nowhere. Yes?
I'm sorry to interrupt.
What is it?
We found Danny Petrozzo's 4x4, reported abandoned in Hackney.
Right, get on it, Travis.
Travis leaves with Joan. Lewis looks tense.
You okay, Mike?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Because if you need some time...
No, sir, I'm fine. Honestly, thank you.
Don't be afraid to ask for help. It's no shame, man. Right. Go with Travis and check out his car. Hey, and play nice.
Langton lights a cigarette. He takes a long, deep pull.
Pete, thanks for getting back to me. What do you know about this drug called fentanyl?
The smoke alarm, a pickup truck in a tunnel.
An anonymous tip-off called in.
One of the clampers.
It's Kate in Mud.
Lewis and Travis circle the vehicle, the open backs covered.
Wait, can you smell that?
Lewis lifts off the soft cover and they both pull back. A man's body in the back. It looks like the guy who was attacked in the garage with the same neat plaster over his mouth.
Who is that?
That's Danny Petrozzo. It's Frank's boss.
Well, I don't think he's going to be telling us much.
Lewis heads off. ITFC audio description. Next time...
We've got to find him before he starts dealing it. If we don't, the consequences will be deadly.
All of them linked by fentanyl, either dead by it or dealing it.
Lewis and Power in the interview room with Roach.
Shot him in the face! Look at him!
Squeak, squeak, little piggy.
Let me
People rarely say what they truly think or feel.
I won't tell, detective.
Disagreement? You've been assaulted.
You are involved here. That much is clear. David Rushton couldn't protect you. You could be next.